for the first time in 45 years that we had to find a church, God always found them for us. And so it was a labor of love, but it was also a labor of, what do we do, Lord? And we came and we worshiped with you, and we came impressed, and this is where we came to want to call our church, and Jimmy is our pastor. I'll tell you why, in part, and that is because when we came, we not only were greeted with a warm welcome, but we were impressed by the diversity of the congregation. We were also impressed that it's one of the few churches, now this is in what I say my humble but accurate opinion, one of the few churches that was really doing anything outside of the church much. So thank you for allowing us to be a part of your fellowship. I thank your pastor, or my pastor, for allowing me for the second time to be in his pulpit. I'm very honored. For all the years that I shared as a pastor, and you choose your people that come and fill your pulpit very carefully. So after today, he may choose another route. One of the joys of being a part of a fellowship like this is that there's always someone that's going to give you guidance. And I received that this morning as I came in. Tom Robinson came up to me and told me that a coat was not necessary. Come on, folks, lighten up. But I shared with him out of 45 years of wearing a coat and tie, not only on Sunday, but Monday through Friday, it was a habit hard to break. So if you don't mind, I feel more comfortable dressed as I am. I will confess this, though. I have felt very comfortable in your fellowship that socks are optional. If you would turn with me to Psalm 100, we will spend a few moments in looking at the scripture that we have here before us. Psalm 100 is a psalm of praise. It's a psalm that was written and given to the people for thanksgiving. Before we read the psalm, I think it's important that we understand something of what it's meant and what the setting was. The setting that the psalmist was looking forward to and had a glimpse of glory bright before him was the millennial. This psalm is about the millennial. It's a psalm about when Christ is going to return and be a part of the true worship to him. The scene is in the temple. A temple there in Jerusalem. A temple that all men and women of all nationalities will come and worship him. A couple of years ago, I had the opportunity, after I had come here, the opportunity to go to Midwestern Seminary and speak in their chapel. Now, that might not mean something to you, but for us preachers, that's a pretty big deal. And while I was there, Dr. Alan Branch, who is a professor of Christian ethics, carried me over to a little town outside, a little place outside of Kansas City. And he said, I want you to come and see something. And so we went and we came, and there was a big field out there between some buildings, and it went from block to block. And he said, this is where the Mormons say that the Garden of Eden was. And I said, is that right? He said, yeah, but they also believe this is where Jesus is going to return. And I said, well, I need to get me a tent and come up here and stay. But when I look at my scripture, I'm not putting them down. I'm not trying to make any fight with anybody, but I just am a man that I believe the Bible. And the Bible says that when Christ returns, he's going to return to Jerusalem, and all people will be drawn unto him. And they will be drawn there because of one glorious reason. That'll be for the coronation of Jesus Christ as Lord and King. You can give thanks to the Lord for that. God, help us all. If you would, then, let's turn to Psalm 100. And let's look at what's there. Let's read it in entirety, and then we'll come back and look at it verse by verse. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, and worship the Lord with gladness, and come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who hath made us, and we are his, and we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. My, what a wonderful thing to be able to understand something of what he is saying. Verse 1, as we look at that, we have to come to understand. Now, I'm mindful of the setting. I've shared with you what the setting was. And when I say that the psalmist had that glimpse of glory bright, I think it's a marvelous thing that God was able to give those prophets and those men a little bit of vision of what was going to be in the future. But you know what I've also discovered? There are times when God gives you and I a little bit of a glimpse of glory bright. We're able to see and understand and receive Christ as he is meant to be. All right, so that is the setting. And so we come to that place and we see that the beast is dead. We see that the false prophet is dead. We see that the devil has been incarcerated into the abyss. We come to understand that he has come and all the people have come to understand that the beast is dead. The false prophet is gone. The devil's in the abyss. And so they all are drawn to Jerusalem. They're all drawn to the temple so that they might worship in harmony with the Lord. You know what that means? That means that God is going to be there and all people, all nationalities will come and be a part of that time. Can you believe it? That'll be a time when all nations are in harmony. You really got to get a glimpse of glory bright to understand that one now, don't you? So we look at it and we understand what God is saying to us and doing, and all in harmony. Let me give a little simple Harry Southern illustration. You know, bicycle wheel? Now, most of them now have solid things on them. I grew up on a bicycle that had spokes. Anybody else do that? Yeah, okay, good. Had spokes in the wheel. And the spokes all came out from a central hub. And they came out into the rim. And so what happens is that the closer you get to the hub, the closer the spokes are together. We live in a world today that has no center. They have no hub. They have nothing that draws them in together. Every nation has its own guide and guidance, and there's no boundaries for where they might go. But you and I know that Jesus Christ is the hub. He is the center. And he has given us our glorious Bible, the only true and absolute that's ever been. It's a moral absolute that is true. An absolute. Listen, my friends. He gave to us the Bible, and I like to picture the Bible as being the rim of that hub. That's the one that goes around. The Bible gives us the parameters in which we shall live. But there's something other greater than that, too, or is great, is that as the spokes of the wheel get closer to the hub, guess what happens? They become closer together. As they experience and they worship and they love the Lord Jesus more and more and more, their lives begin to conform to the image of Jesus, and they begin to have closer fellowship and worship with one another. Praise God. I can testify to that. That's something God has done in my life. And so we look at that and we see that that is what God is doing. And the problem with the world is there's no center and there's no hub. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, worship. You went to 3. It says to worship the Lord. Are y'all confused? I tell you the reason I depend on this a little bit. I have macular degeneration. Everybody said, oh, God bless him. And it's hard for me to read some things. Now, I see trucks and cars and dogs and horses good, so don't get afraid when I'm driving. But I have a little bit of trouble in focusing sometimes. So if you notice, I have to raise up and look. Will you excuse me for that? First verse says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. So all the earth is going to be gathered into Jerusalem to praise his name. Verse 2 says, worship the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. True happiness, true worship in the presence of the Lord is adoration. To adore him. I tell you, I have 2 children and a precious wife, and I literally adore them because I love them. There was a long time that I had a problem saying, I love you. Joyce was always one that always could share. She would hug, and I had never raised in a family that hugged before. And so I wanted to know what, you know, I'd married her. Now what was wrong with her? But as I grew in with her and I grew in the Lord, I realized that the greatest thing that I can ever say is, Jesus, I love you. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. It is God's, the presence of him being there and the presence that we give in adoration. They come there then, as we see, to the temple. And there are several things that take place there at the temple that we probably need to know because we come into his presence. The temple, you remember the study of the Old Testament, well, over in the book of John, he talks about it as well. The temple was built and it had the outer court. And that's where if the Gentile, someone that was not a Jew, felt God move upon him and he wanted to come and place of worship, and maybe he didn't know what he was doing, but he just knew he needed to come. That outer court was a place that he was to come and to meet up with God. But also in that outer court, if you remember, that's where they had the money changers and the inspectors for all of the sacrifices, and they were doing all the business. Now, can you imagine all of that going on and coming to try to meet God in that? There was a barrier that kept them from going any closer. Inside of that was a place where the Jewish family could gather and they could worship. It was away from some of the distractions from the world, and it was inside, though, but there was another barrier. They could go no farther. Inside of that was another chamber that all the priests, and the best I can determine in reading some, there was always about 6,000 priests. My word. But you know, they tell us in Jerusalem times that when they would have their feast twice a year, there'd be like 1.5 million people from everywhere come. Can you imagine what it's going to be like at this time? The Jewish people could come and they could worship. they couldn't go any farther, because the next chamber were for those 6,000 priests. And they could come and they could worship, but there was a barrier for them. A barrier for them. And once a year, the high priest was admitted in through the veil into the place that he could meet with God. Let me tell you a little something. Calvary changed all of that. For when God died on the cross for your sin and mine, he tells us that the veil in the temple was rent. And so as men and women, boys and girls that have a belief in Jesus Christ, we not only can come quietly, but we can come boldly into the grace and the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a time when you and I need to stand up, and we need to praise him for what he has done and what he is doing for us. Because you see, we have access into the fellowship of God. I saw a little story. It may not mean anything to you, but it sort of demonstrates or illustrates what I wanted to have said to you. The little story of about a young man in London years ago, and he wanted to go see the king. And so he went up to the gates of the palace, and the guard there said, What do you need, son? And he said, I came to see the king. Guard said, I'm sorry. You can't see the king. The little boy said, listen, all I want to do is see the king. He said, I'm sorry. There's a well-dressed man there that heard him. And he came up to him and he said, son, what was that you were saying? And the little boy said, I want to see the king. So the man, well-dressed, took the little boy's hand. And when he took his hand, the guard separated and he walked through the gates and into the presence of the king, that little boy had encountered the Prince of Wales. And the reason you and I can go into the center and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ is because Jesus has reached down and took our hand. And he worships, he ushers us in to the presence of Jehovah God. Woo! Rise up and praise him, my dear friends. I dare you, my friend. There is such a, that is our birthright. If you want to stop and think about it. My children have a birthright to what I leave. The problem is I've told them that if I can plan mine, I'm going to be $10 overdrawn at the bank. But that's not God. God says, all that I have given to my son. And the son has said, all that I have given to you. Woo! May we rise up and praise the Lord. So we come then in verse 3. Verse 3 says, know that the Lord is God. It is he who hath made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Well, Jehovah is the one true and living God. And he tells us that the God of the Old Testament is the God, Jesus Christ, in the New Testament. And what a wonderful thing that is to know that God is there and he will be with us forever. And all will be drawn unto him. And we'll come to understand, as the passage says, that we are the sheep of his pasture. The pastor spoke, was it last week, about how dumb sheep were. I almost went to some other passage of scripture this morning when he said that. But that's not what he was saying. You know what he's saying to us? The Bible says to us, we are the sheep of his pasture because he came and he gave his life for us. And we said, yes, Jesus, I believe. And we submit ourselves unto his leading and guiding, loving and protection. We need to rise up and praise his name. The Bible says that the Israelites were part of the fold. And there's a difference being the fold and being a part of the flock. The flock are those that have been separated, and they come out and they recognize the shepherd and they follow the shepherd, and the shepherd protects them. But the fold just stands where it is and not recognizing and not really ready to move or go or be a part of that. My dear friend, we have a God that has loved us and cared for us. He has given his life for us. I may have said this the first time I spoke to you. If you meet me out in the street, I may tell you the same thing. Some people say they really believe the Bible. And they believe the Bible because it's God's word. And that's true. But the reason I believe the Bible, the thing that turned me around and allowed me to be a preacher of the gospel, is because of one event in the scripture. One event. Out of all of that writing, there was one event that convinced me that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And that was the resurrection. They took his life. They put him in a grave. And what did he do? He stood up and he walked out of that grave. My, what a pleasure to know a God that is living and not dead. I want you to know, my friend, God is good and he is watching over us. Verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise to his name. Well, there's not much you can say other than about that, is it? That God is such a wonderful God that we enter into his gates and we praise him and we're thankful for him. I don't know about what around your home, but there are several times a year when my children and my grandchildren are there that we just become really overwhelmed with the glory and the praise of the Lord. And sometimes it's centered around something that is completely of our manufacture. One time I'll share with you that happens every year is Thanksgiving time. It's a man-made holiday. But I'm glad it is, because my wife makes the best cornbread dressing you've ever eaten in your life. We gather around the table and we thank the Lord for Joyce and her ability to cook and prepare for such wonderful meals. But at the same time, we realize that we would not have that turkey. We would not have that dressing. We would not have this coat that I wear. We would not have all the things of this life if it had not been for the fact that Jesus Christ got up and walked out of that grave. My dear friends, God is good. His mercy is everlasting. Verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Well, I have shared with you a couple of times that as Christians and as a church, we need to rise up and praise him. For you see, when we get to that millennial time and we're all gathered there at the temple, there'll be a couple of things that will happen. One is that we will come and we will worship him, and we will be occupied by the goodness of God. Just the absolute goodness of God. Now, I've known some good people. I know some good people. But their goodness is just a radiation of them being a part of that wheel and a part of that spoke as they've come closer and closer to God. They have assumed and they have been able to come into the likeness of his goodness. We need to rise up and praise him for his goodness and also for his mercy. If I got what I deserved and you got what you deserved, we'd bust hell wide open. But because he loved us and he rose from that grave, he has shown his mercy to us. And by faith, we can come into his presence. And because of his mercy, we need to rise up and praise his name. And the third thing is, we'll come into the presence of the truth of God. We have people all of this world that deny the lordship of Jesus Christ. They have chased after every idol. They have chased after everything looking for the true God. I want to announce to you today that when we get to heaven, we get to Jerusalem at the temple, no one will be able to deny the truth that is in Jesus Christ. And I praise his name for that. My dear friends, we have a wonderful church. We have many opportunities to worship and serve him. But all of it has to come and certainly be a part of our praise and our worship. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I haven't really preached an evangelistic message this morning. But would you have the courage to rise up and follow him? If you're here this morning and you need a church home, I've shared with you the reason I'm here. I would say it would fit for you too. Would you have the courage to rise up and follow him? Maybe you're here this morning and you have been a church member, but you've just been a nominal church member. And believe me, I know what those are because I pastored churches 45 years. They're good people. They just never really sold out. Would you this morning have the courage to rise up and praise and worship him? There'll be some men standing here that you can come and share your decision with. And the best way we can ever praise and worship our Lord is in adoration. And in adoration, we submit ourselves to the will and to the calling of God. Will the church rise up in obedience to him? Father, I thank you. Thank you for the opportunity that this church has afforded me to worship. Thank you for the opportunity to share something of my faith. It is my prayer, Lord, that the faith of all of those that are here this morning will have been strengthened. Only you, Lord, can save. Only you can draw them out. And I pray, Lord, that this would be the day for some that they would make that great and wonderful commitment unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.